Monday's Air Force One photo shoot brings big fallout. General Aviation gets its own congressional caucus, and Lockheed will develop a new radar blimp for DARPA. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, April 29, 2009. Federal and local officials have scrambled to blame each other for a panic that caused spontaneous evacuations of buildings in the New York Metro on Monday. A photo shoot to get promo pictures of Air Force One sent a Boeing VC-25 used as a backup for the presidential plane on a low pass over Manhattan with a fighter escort. Apparently, it didn't occur to the planners what that would look like from the ground. The New York Times reports the sight of what appeared to be a Boeing 747 with F-16s in pursuit led to evacuation of several buildings in Lower Manhattan and Jersey City. Mayor Bloomberg angrily claimed at first he wasn't notified. When it turned out his office had been notified last week, he promised that such a lapse would never happen again. The FAA said it approved the flight and notified the mayor's office, local agencies, and call centers, but ordered them not to alert the public. When the public outrage began, the Times says the military referred reporters to the White House, which referred them back to the military. New York Senator Charles Schumer, unable to resist his addiction to microphones and cameras, could not bring himself to criticize the Obama White House for planning the debacle. Instead, he erroneously blamed the FAA. Quote, "It is absolutely outrageous and appalling to think that the FAA would plan such a photo shoot and not warn the public, knowing full well New Yorkers still have the vivid memory of 9/11 sketched in their minds," unquote. He added that the flight, quote, "really borders on being either cruel or very, very stupid," unquote. Meanwhile, some guy and his wife in a Cessna 180 were forced down Friday by fighters for accidentally straying into restricted airspace near Washington, D.C. after a GPS failure. I'm sure glad we have our priorities straight. Next time you see the mention of the GA caucus in Congress, you should know it's not the abbreviation for Georgia. The National Business Aviation Association has welcomed the formation of a group of representatives focused on general aviation issues on Capitol Hill. The caucus is co-chaired by Representatives Vernon Ellers of Michigan, a Republican, and Alan Boyd of Florida, a Democrat. In an invitation letter to colleagues to join the caucus, Ellers and Boyd noted that of the 19,000 small and regional airports across the country, only 500 have commercial service, making GA the only travel option for many communities. Quote, "The GA industry contributes more than $150 billion to the U.S. economy annually, and it employs nearly 1.3 million workers. The GA industry is one of the few remaining U.S. industries that actually maintains a positive foreign trade balance," unquote. NBAA President Ed Boland commented, quote, "The formation of the caucus demonstrates a recognition in Congress that general aviation plays a critical role in serving citizens and communities in every state," unquote. Lockheed Martin has been chosen by DARPA, the U.S. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, to develop an airborne radar blimp. The company, in cooperation with Raytheon, will build a scale model of the aircraft, which will be flown 6 miles above the ground and used to track small missiles and unmanned aircraft up to 373 miles out. Bloomberg reports the deal is valued at $400 million and will start with a first installment of $100 million. Completion of the project is expected in 2013. In other news from Lockheed, the announced cancellation of the severely delayed and bloated VH-71 presidential helicopter program has prompted the company to cut 225 jobs from its systems integration facility in Owego, New York. Lockheed says affected workers will be notified by mid-May and receive a severance package. The company adds more cuts are expected as Congress finalizes the federal defense budget. Up next on ANN, a union wants TSA screeners brought under Title V. NATCA claims validation in an IG report. And troops get a glimpse of the future at Eglin Air Force Base. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for or speech frequencies in extremely high noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 29th. I'm Paul Plack. You don't hear much about the National Treasury Employees Union, but that's the union that wants to represent employees of the Transportation Security Administration. The 2001 law that created the TSA kept its officers out of the civil service system and the general schedule of pay. The NTEU says the agency's pay-for-performance system has failed, and the union is supporting legislation in the U.S. House that would extend civil service status to the workers. House Resolution 1881 would bring transportation security officers under Title V, including collective bargaining rights, and put them on the GS pay steps. Union President Colleen Kelly claims, quote, TSA employees labor under a system that has almost completely demoralized them. We can strengthen TSA by providing its workers with a pay and performance system that is fair, credible, and transparent, and with a voice in the development of workplace quality standards that will make the traveling public even safer, unquote. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association is finding validation of its talking points in a new report from the Inspector General of the U.S. Department of Transportation. The audit, which was requested by California Senator Dianne Feinstein, was conducted between July of 2008 and January 2009 and found the percentage of trainees in the controller workforce has jumped from 15% in 2004 to 27% 4 years later. The IG recommends the FAA validate the new staffing ranges NATCA has said are arbitrary and inadequate, provide three busy California ATC facilities with more contract instructors to work with trainees, make more use of incentives for relocation and retention to put experienced controllers in its busiest facilities, and conduct an independent analysis of the use of overtime at LAX and the two California TRACONs. The audit found that overtime hours worked at LAX exploded by 868% in 2 years. NATCA President Patrick Forey commented, quote, the FAA's failed run-it-like-a-business approach the past few years is rearing its ugly head. Desperation has bred reckless policies. Instead of fixing the labor mess it created, the FAA continued to dig itself a hole, all the while denying there was a staffing problem. Today's report is clear. There is a staffing problem, unquote. NATCA says the IG's report validates its own research. The union says the year-to-date total of operational errors at the Southern California TRACON puts the facility on a pace to exceed last year's levels. Troops at Eglin Air Force Base in Florida got a close look last week at the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, an aircraft which will thrust Eglin into a major role in the military preparedness of the U.S. and many other nations. Nine countries have orders for the F-35, and all those crews will be trained at Eglin. Along with the aircraft, Lockheed Martin brought a cockpit demo, simulators, and experts to give the base and community leaders a first-hand look at the cockpit and what it'll feel like to fly the fifth-generation fighter. They watched as the $44 million fighter flew a demo sortie over the base and surrounding areas on April 21st with two F-16 chase aircraft. After some touch-and-goes, the Joint Strike Fighter was parked at the McKinley Climatic Lab for viewing. The first of the new fighters are scheduled to arrive at Eglin in March of 2010. Still ahead, Boeing's P-8A makes a 3-plus-hour test flight. Pilatus makes its first European military fleet sale. And the days of bird safety trumping human safety may be numbered in Florida. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, April 29th. I'm Paul Plack. Boeing's new maritime patrol and reconnaissance aircraft has reached a development milestone. The company reports its P-8A Poseidon test aircraft successfully completed its first flight on Saturday, taking off from Renton Field at 10:43 a.m. Pacific Time and touching down at Boeing Field in Seattle 3 hours and 31 minutes later. The P-8A was put through a series of flight checks at altitudes up to 25,000 feet. The Navy and Boeing expect to commence formal flight testing this summer. Between now and then, aircraft T-1 will get new paint, undergo more ground testing, and be fitted with data acquisition gear. The Navy plans to buy 108 of the planes to replace older P-3s. Pilatus has struck a deal to provide 6 of its new PC-12NG turboprop singles to the Finnish Air Force for use as liaison aircraft. They'll be delivered in the fourth quarter of 2010 in a deal valued at 22.5 million euro, or about $29.5 million U.S. at current exchange rates. The type is in use by militaries around the world, but this deal marks the first fleet sale of the PC-12 to a European Air Force. Pilatus CEO Oscar Schwenk is excited. Quote, "We believe this will encourage other air forces in Europe to look closer at the performance and capabilities of this unique platform. With ever-shrinking military budgets, the durability, efficiency, and lifecycle cost of the PC-12NG are key parameters for today's decision-makers," unquote. And finally, public concern over bird strikes following the miracle on the Hudson is bringing some sanity to the balance between wildlife protection and human safety at Florida airports. Florida Today reports that under current state law, airport employees who fire blanks or other usually non-lethal rounds to scare off birds from areas near runways could face fines and criminal charges if a bird on the endangered list is accidentally killed. The Florida House has passed Bill 1065, which would exempt such cases. A companion bill is poised for passage in the state Senate. In fact, according to the paper, the law would okay any means necessary to battle wildlife hazards which threaten aircraft or human life. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Cessna CEO Jack Pelton expands on his company's Rise campaign in a one-on-one interview with ANN's Jim Campbell. Pelton also provides an update on Cessna's entire product family. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.